the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
And can I add my welcome to Paul? Hello to familiar faces and hello to possibly some new or returning faces too. My name's Johnny Baker and it is my huge privilege to speak to you this morning. I'm a member of the leadership team at Belmont. I'm also on the leadership team at a local high school as well. If you are new to us this morning, whether you're watching this live, later in the day, or even next year, you are so welcome here. There's always a place for you at Belmont. Each week at Belmont, we look at this book, the Bible. We think it's the most amazing book. It is relevant today as it was many years ago. We're on week six of our eight-week series, looking at a letter in the New Testament that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi called Philippians. The series is called Surprised by Joy. And the image that you can see in front of you tells you something about the author. Now, I know it's been mentioned numerous times in this series, but it's always, always worth being reminded of the simple fact that Paul, who writes this letter to the Philippians, he's in prison. He's under house arrest. But you wouldn't have guessed it, would you? He is surprisingly joyful. Now, you may think I'm labouring this point, but it is really, really important. Everything that we have discussed so far has been written by a prisoner. That is staggering. Chapter 1, do you remember? Paul talks about rejoicing and vows to continue to rejoice. Chapter 2, Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. But this guy's in chains. I wonder what you'd be like in jail. His letter to the Philippians sounds like someone writing from a palace, not a prison. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I could write a letter as upbeat as Paul does. And this morning's no exception, as Paul keeps the surprisingly upbeat tone going. Now, we're looking at Philippians 3, 10 to 21, and Mike is going to read the passage to us in a moment. But I have a question for you, and it's this. What is the most important thing you have to do today? Just have a think about that for a second, will you? What is it that you have to do? What cannot wait? I wonder if it's cooking a meal, or talking to someone, sending a message, or meeting someone at a distance, or some other thing. Have you got something in mind? If you have, great. If not, don't worry, because I actually think that the most important thing that you have to do today, or myself, or actually on any given day, the most important thing we have to do is in the passage we're about to read. That's amazing, isn't it? It's almost as if we've got our post-it note, our to-do list right here for every day of our lives, what we're about to read. That is pretty cool. Here is Mike to read Philippians 3, 10 to 21. Look out for the most important thing that you and I have to do today or on any given day.
Well, our reading today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
When we looked at the end of chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that a chapter of Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace, had a huge impact on my life when I was at university. Well, it's not the only short piece of literature that's affected me. A couple of years ago, my dad sent me an article in the Post. Now, I've got to be honest, as I opened it and I saw how dated the article was, I must confess to thinking that it would be massively irrelevant. There was this yellow tinge on the paper that made me a little bit cynical. But as always, your dad knows best. Please remember that if you're my child, Jack and Lucy. The article that my dad sent me was called The Tyranny of the Urgent. It was written back in the 1970s. But as I came to understand as I read it, its message is still bang on if you change the odd detail. Part of the article says this: we live in constant tension between the urgent and the important. The problem is that the important thing doesn't have to be done today or even this week. Those extra hours of prayer and Bible study, that friend to be visited, the book that requires careful study, those projects do not have to be done today. But urgent tasks call for instant action. A man's home is no longer his castle, since the telephone breaches the walls with its imperious demands. Since at the moment they seem to be important and irresistible, they devour our energy. But in the light of time's perspective, their value fades. We see the important things we fail to do and realise we've been slaves to the tyranny of the urgent. The article then goes on to look at the problem and ask the question, is there any escape from this pattern of living? So much has changed, hasn't it, in our world over the last 50 years? Technology, all sorts of other bits and pieces. But I don't think the basic issues have changed, have they? If you're anything like me, you've probably got a list of things that you deem important and want to do, but you never seem able to get to them. The urgent, though less important, is prioritised, and therefore the important stuff is put on the back burner. There are many things that you and I have to do today and on any given day. I know that. But Paul says that the most important thing to do today and on any given day is, verse 10, to know Christ. Right at the start of the passage that Mike read, the first words, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Which on the surface is a little strange, isn't it? Because when Paul writes these words, he has known Jesus for about 30 years. But what Paul is saying here is that he wants to know Christ better. He wants to know Jesus more deeply, more intimately. Can you sense the hunger, the desire from Paul? This is not a man who is content. He doesn't want to just sit there, tread water, coast along. He wants to journey with Jesus. He wants to race with him. You can't have missed the racing and sporting imagery that Paul uses in this passage. He knows that the most important thing a human can do today or on any given day is to know Jesus. The late Jim Packer once said this: once you become aware that your main business here in life is to know Christ, then most of life's problems fall into place. But unfortunately, that important task of knowing Christ can get put off in our lives as we do other things that might seem on the surface urgent, but in reality are nowhere near as important. I wonder if lockdown earlier this year has been a case in point. I'm sure for many of us, as restrictions came into force, we thought that this was an opportunity to change. This is a chance to do the things that we've always felt God called us to do, to take some time, take some space, to address the important, to know Jesus better. And I'm sure there'll be many people watching who did that, who took that chance. But I wonder how many of us squandered that opportunity. Rather than maybe read our Bible a little bit more, we did manage to watch the same box set for the seventh time. Rather than joining prayer Thursdays, we did watch 30 silly videos on Facebook. Rather than calling that person who we were worried about, who was lost and hurting, we got to the next level on that app on our phone. question posed in the Tyranny of the Urgent article was posed 50 years ago, but it's still true, isn't it? Is there any escape from this pattern of living? Here's the great news, and this is proper great news. Paul says in this passage, yes, there is. It is possible to escape this pattern. And the even better thing about the passage is that Paul tells us how to escape it. If knowing Jesus is the most important thing to do each day, then how do we do it? Well, I want to highlight three things that I think Paul says we should do if we want to do this most important thing in life, which is to know Christ. These three things are: one, suffer; two, press on; and three, remember our citizenship. Now, we'll briefly look at those three in turn, but it's very important to note that this is not an exhaustive list. Those are not the only things you can do to know Christ, to know Jesus. There's no one passage in the Bible that contains the whole of what is required for good Christian living, which is why at Belmont, we try to teach through the whole of the Bible roughly every decade. Now, this passage does have helpful insights into how to know Christ, but there are other vitally important things that we must do as well. We must read this thing, because the Bible literally tells us about Jesus, helps us to know him. Now, if you're struggling with that, please contact us. We would love to help you. As well as reading the Bible, prayer is important. Talking to Jesus, having a relationship, communicating. Again, if you struggle with that, contact us. We'd love to help you. And thirdly, there's also we've called to gather together with God's people. Now, I know we can't all do that together in person at this time, but we can right now virtually gather on a Sunday morning. And some people can go actually in person, as we've got a COVID secure environment. There's also Zoom prayer meetings, there's home groups, loads of other stuff. Even with COVID-19 restrictions, we can gather in one way or another to help us to know Jesus more. Now, I've got to be honest, I don't like this term socially distancing. I prefer the phrase physical distancing, because although we're called to socially distance, it's the physical distancing that's the important bit. The Bible says clearly, do not give up meeting together. Stick at it, even if it feels weird or different. Bible reading, prayer, meeting together, they will all help you and I to know Jesus better. But to return to this particular passage, Paul gives us three other things that will help us to know Jesus better. And the first one, probably as I put it up a few moments ago, let's be honest, you and I didn't like the look of it. If you want to get to know Jesus better, says Paul, then suffering is part of the package. To know Christ, we must be suffering Christians. When Paul says, verse 10, I want to know Christ and participation in his sufferings, he knows that somehow suffering for Jesus brings him closer to Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 24 says this: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Knowing Jesus is actually about self-denial. It's about what we've talked about in chapter 2, humility, looking after the interests of others, worrying about where others finish in the race, not ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean that we should go and hunt suffering down, but we should expect to suffer if we're trying to be obedient to God. If you've read any of Paul's writing in the New Testament, you'll know that rather than running from a challenge, he embraces suffering and even death. Many of us, though, in the 21st century, live entire lives that are calculated to avoid suffering, to avoid challenge, to avoid effort, to avoid discomfort. But Paul says that you grow through those things. Are you and I willing to suffer so that we can know Christ better? Suffering is part of the deal, says Paul. But he also says that knowing Jesus involves pressing on. I remember a conversation I had with someone some years ago. I was asking them why they dip and duck out of church a lot. They were there some weeks, they were away other weeks. They appeared for coffee time, but not the service. They told me that they'd heard it all before and that they knew all about Jesus. A response which, if I'm honest, I found a little surprising. You see, if anyone had heard it all before, it's Paul, isn't it? He was someone of great joy and knowledge in the face of strife. He was someone who'd met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was a great evangelist. But even he says, verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of all the things Jesus has in store for me. It seems that the more Paul gets to know Jesus, the hungrier he is to know him better. 2020 has been a very strange year. And in some ways, it can feel as if we're just waiting for things to get back to normal. However, if Paul was about, I'm not sure he'd like this waiting business. He'd be urging us to press on and use all the opportunities presented by this unusual time to get to know Jesus better. We are not in a waiting room. 2020 is not a pause moment. It's a press on moment, like all moments. And one way that we press on, says Paul, is verse 13, to forget what is behind. Now, this is important. I don't know if you have any regrets in life. I certainly do. There are things that I've said, there are things that I've thought, there are things that I have done that I shouldn't have. And there are also things that I haven't done that I should have. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles to forget what is behind. In fact, if anyone would struggle with the past, with what's behind, it's Paul, isn't it? Sorry to go back to him again, but this is the guy who spent the first part of his life trying to kill followers of Jesus. But here's what Paul knows. He can forget what is behind because he has been forgiven by God. And God's verdict is more important than his or any other human being's verdict. You'll talk more about that in home group this week. Paul loves Jesus so much because Jesus has forgiven him so much. When you know that you have been forgiven much, you love much. Jesus gives people a better future if they follow him, but he also gives a better past. And knowing that, Paul can, and so can we, press on. If you have read any parts of the New Testament that Paul wrote, I'm sure the active language won't have escaped you. Press on. Strain toward, take hold, follow in his footsteps, do it with all your might. What you won't find in the Bible is settle in, rest on your laurels, get comfy, have a Kit Kat. No, sorry. Please don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with comfort. But comfort shouldn't be our number one priority in life. It certainly wasn't Paul's, and it shouldn't be ours. So even in this strange season, we need to press on to know Christ better. Paul then in the passage tells us to know Christ better, we're going to have to suffer. We're going to need to press on. And thirdly, we need to constantly remember our citizenship. Verse 20 reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. At the start of 2020, if I'd have told you that Brexit wouldn't be the main story of the year, you'd have probably laughed at me. But before all this COVID business, that was all we talked about. Do you remember those days? Some were excited by Brexit, some were anxious. Interestingly, many, many people scrambled for one of these, scrambled for an extra passport. There were nearly a million applications for an Irish passport during 2019 as people tried to increase their options. Many were worried that Brexit may cause problems for UK passport holders, so they rushed to secure dual citizenship. Here's the good news for Christians, followers of Jesus, is that if you do follow Jesus, you have dual citizenship. In fact, we're like aliens, Peter tells us, in this world, 1 Peter. So Paul urges the Philippians and us to remember our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus has made the past better, but he's also promised us the most amazing future. And fixing our eyes on that, remembering that, will help us to know Christ better. Your citizenship, if you follow Jesus, is ahead. It's in heaven. Look up. Now, I'm going to finish in a moment. But before I close, I want to leave you with an illustration Francis Chan, an American preacher and author, uses. I've used it before in church some years ago, but now we're in this online world, rather than me doing a mediocre retelling, here's Francis with an illustration reminding followers of Jesus of what is to come.
Imagine this rope, okay? Pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now, imagine that this rope is a timeline. of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about what about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
Wow, that's pretty stark, isn't it? But Francis is right, isn't he? I think there's some tough teaching here in Philippians 3, and some of you may have found it difficult, maybe even too tough in these difficult days. But in some ways, in the midst of all the challenges that we face, isn't it liberating and encouraging to know that for those who trust in Jesus, the future is unbelievably good? Also, isn't it good to simplify things that are complex? We face multiple challenges. It feels like too many to process, to be honest, at the moment. But you and I only have one thing to do, to know Christ. Now, it will involve suffering. It will involve pressing on. And we're going to need to remember our citizenship. But it is the best and most important thing that any human being can do in this life. I want to know Christ, says Paul. Today, you and I, we got a choice. We can stop being slaves to the tyranny of the urgent and know Christ better. Or we can fail to escape that pattern of living and neglect the important. You may have lots to do in your diary or on a list or a post-it note. But in reality, you've only got one thing to do today. Paul says, I want to know Christ. It's my prayer that I can say that, and that everybody watching can say that too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a loving God. Thank you, that you love us more than we could ever imagine. Heavenly Father, in these challenging days, please help us to focus on the important. Please help us to be people who know Christ better each day. Because as we know him better, the world will ultimately know him better too. Father, this will be challenging at times. There will be suffering. And there'll be moments where we don't want to press on. But please help us to fix our eyes on the future. Our citizenship is in heaven. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for who he is, for what he has done. And please help us to share the story, to live the life, to know Christ better. And as a result, we pray that Exeter and beyond knows him better too. For the sake of the risen Lord Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.